Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, it is a great privilege to be in the studio, having the opportunity to answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and indeed questions that come in from around the world. As always, our address on the web is equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to talk to you for just a few moments from my heart. I suppose over the last couple of weeks, I have fallen into a rather bad habit of going home at night after the show and watching one news media outlet after another bloviate about what's going on around the world respecting Islam. And if there's a common refrain that I hear, it is this refrain that Islam is peaceful and tolerant as a religion. In fact, I heard Loretta Lynch go so far as to say that her greatest fear with respect to Islam is that there's going to be some kind of Islamic backlash in the United States, a fear that is wholly unwarranted by the statistics and the facts. And so this morning when I got to the office, I saw an article, and the article actually was an article that was in yesterday's USA Today, but the headline caught my eye again. The headline was, "Recognize Christian Genocide." Those three words. This is an article written by Kirsten Powers, who is the author of The Silencing, How the Left is Killing Free Speech. Well, I saw those three words, and it really got me thinking. It got me thinking about Christian genocide, and how we need to recognize Christian genocide. Again, an apt title for an article. And I'll get to some of the content of that article in a moment. But we ought to remember that while the Crusades are now history, the Muslim horror most certainly is not. And while the Ottoman Empire reached its zenith in the 16th century, most of its most notable atrocities are of recent vintage. 21st century cultural elites seem to conveniently block out the mass extermination of Armenians, as well as the death of Christianity in Asia Minor, both 20th century horrors. I'm talking about the 20th century. They rightly wax eloquent concerning Adolf Hitler's death squads, but breathe nary a word about Abdul Hamid's policy of Armenian genocide. Remember, the Muslim atrocity began at the turn of the century with the systematic slaughter of 300,000 Armenians. And by the time World War I broke out, Turkey had committed itself to eliminating the whole of the Christian population. Many of you likely remember the slogan, "Turkey only for the Turks," cleverly codifying this maniacal policy of ethnic cleansing, a policy that succeeded in wiping out, at the time, 1.5 million Christians. including almost 5,000 clergy. Our memories seem to be short. The Turks went from house to house, murdering, looting, pillaging, raping. And by 1923, over 3.5 million Christians were murdered in this Muslim mayhem. Yesterday, I mentioned the murder of the Bishop of Smyrna. But he was not alone. Many bishops were martyred in grotesque and ghastly fashion. One of them was hacked to death while he was still breathing. Another was doused in oil and then burned alive. A third was tortured for 41 days before his execution. And by the way, these were the orders of Mustafa Kemal, also known as Ataturk. A fourth was burned alive. A fifth had horseshoes nailed to his feet before his body was hacked to pieces. Beheadings were so rampant that the Greek women carried baskets full of severed heads. You know, Hitler waged that we'd forget less than a few decades after these atrocities. He said famously that I've given orders to my death units to exterminate without mercy or pity men, women, and children belonging to the Polish-speaking race. It is only in this manner we can acquire the territory which we need. After all, he said, who remembers the extermination of the Armenians? Certainly not the cultural elite, not Clinton, not Obama, not even the conservative commentators on Fox. Is Islam really a peaceful and tolerant religion? Do we know nothing about history? And we don't even have to think about history anymore. Right up to the present moment, just 2 months ago, in October, Muslim militants in Syria demanded that two Christian women and six Christian men convert to Islam. When they refused, the result was predictable. The women were publicly raped. Kirsten Powers, again, talks about it in this article. And then they were beheaded along with the men. Beheaded. And that same day, militants cut off the fingertips of a 12-year-old boy in an attempt to force his Christian father to convert to Islam. And we say, cut off the fingertips? Wow, I've never heard of such a thing. Well, read the Quran. Read Surah 8. Strike off their heads. Strike off every fingertip of them. And that's what happened. By the way, when the father refused to convert, he was not only tortured, but he was crucified. Little wonder then that the New York Times provocatively asked, is this the end of Christianity in the Middle East? The answer is self-evident. Christian communities are evaporating as we speak in the very territories where Christianity was birthed. And as Kirsten Powers wrote in USA Today, the article that got my attention, ISIL doesn't want to coexist with Middle Eastern Christians. It wants to eliminate them. Let's stop pretending otherwise and call this what it is. It's genocide, pure and simple. Now remember, in all of this, the assertion is not that there are not peaceful and tolerant Muslims. That, of course, would be absurd. The assertion is that from its genesis in the practices of Muhammad, he's the one that came up with the fingertip thing, right up to the very present moment. Islam is anything but peaceful and tolerant, and nor may it rightly be called a religion. It is an all-encompassing social, political, and legal system that breeds a worldview peculiar unto itself. We've all heard about the five pillars of Islam, but we seldom hear about the sixth, jihad. We're all familiar with the Hajj, the religious pilgrimage to Mecca where Muslims circle the Kaaba and then retreat to throw stones at the devil. But few, it seems, are willing to acknowledge the stonings that take place every year in places like Saudi Arabia, or even the mob at the football game between Greece and Turkey. Not long after the Paris attacks, I recall that there was a moment of silence that was called for. They wanted to honor the victims of the Paris attacks. But Turkish fans didn't want silence. So instead of silence, what you heard was booing and the cry, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. It's time that we wake up to the gruesome realities of a real world. When I talk about the genocide of 3.5 million Armenians, I'm not talking about something that happened in the Middle Ages. I'm talking about something that happened in the 20th century. And if you look at all the atrocities committed by non-Christian and atheistic regimes, in addition to what I just mentioned about Islam, we could escalate the number to hundreds and hundreds of millions. As Christians, we need to know the truth, not curse the darkness, but build a lighthouse. Because, quite frankly, the only way that anything stops is by changing the heart. And right now, while we're caught up with all the terrorist attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, in Boston, I mean, the list goes on and on. Our memories seem to be very, very short. But in the midst of all of this carnage, it is critical to recognize that there is an even more insidious reality. I've talked about it on previous broadcasts. It's migration without assimilation. It's happened all over Europe. That's why some cynically are calling Europe now Eurabia. This is what I talked about yesterday, the python swallowing its prey. It's got a long and a very slow and tedious digestion. So we see these flashpoints and forget that there is this lack of assimilation that's going. And let me tell you something about this. I was watching one of the programs yesterday, and I was amazed to hear a very erudite commentator talk about her own experience growing up in France. And she pointed out this very thing. And I thought, wow, I've never heard this before. I've never heard anyone in the secular media talk about this. And boy, did she talk about this eloquently. This is a reality. We're living in a real world with real consequences. And as Christians, we ought to get involved. We ought to know what's going on in politics. And we ought to know, above all, what we believe and why we believe it. I hear Christians, actually, or at least people that take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips, saying, well, don't Muslims think that Jesus Christ was a sinless prophet, a great prophet? Yes, but they also believe that if you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have committed an unforgivable sin. And drawn to its logical conclusion, it is an unforgivable sin unto death, not just in the Muslim eternity, but in this life as well. I don't know, it's cliche, but let's wake up and smell the coffee. We're going to station break. I promise when we come back from the break, I've gotten everything off my chest. I'll go right to answering your calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Be right back with answers.
Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Have you
you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers. The number again to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Joe, listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Hank? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sir, my question to you is, in the opening dialogue, you were talking about how within the Muslim community, there is Muslims that believe in tolerance of other religions. My question is, in the Muslim religion, what is their view on fellow believers that are tolerant of the religion? Are they accepted since they're not following the every word of Allah and Muhammad?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, because in Islam, Muhammad is the model man, and therefore we are to emulate if you are truly a Muslim, say the authentic Muslims, you are to emulate the life and practices of Muhammad as given in the Hadith, the consensus, and the Quran, not necessarily in that order. So you are supposed to follow not only what he said, but what he did. But I think what we have to recognize is that Islam is not a monolith. It's multifaceted. You have the Wahhabis of Saudi Arabia. You have the Shias in Iran. You have the Sunnis. You have the Nation of Islam, which is a cult of Islam. You have the Sufis, which is a mystical branch of Islam. And you also have Jack Islam, or what I like to call Jack Islam. And what I mean by that is very much like a Jack Mormon. It's a Mormon because of tradition. If you ask them about the details, simply wouldn't have a clue. It's a family tradition. It's a way of life. It is a community. And so for many Muslims, that is what it is. It is just that. But is that authentic Islam? No. Any more than if someone says that they are a Christian, but denies all the essentials of the historic Christian faith, sort of has a Christian background or grew up in America, and therefore they say they're Christian.
Right. I mean, because naturally I do agree with you when you say that Islam is a religion of ours because it teaches it. Now, those who oppose it, do they fall under the same law as an infidel or someone who's not part of the Islam religion?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, but most certainly that would be the case with respect to an authentic Muslim who authentically follows the teachings of the Quran, the Hadith, and the consensus. And remember, when you use the word religion, I mentioned this in the first segment of the broadcast, the assertion that this is a religion, I think, is misguided. It's not only a religion, it is an all-encompassing social, political, legal system that has bred a particular worldview peculiar unto itself. So again, when we call this a religion, I think that we oftentimes make a mistake, because the cultural elites today have this idea that all religions are essentially equal. So you have Christians, they follow Christ. You have Muslims, they follow Muhammad. Six of one, half dozen of the other. No essential difference. It's all kind of the same. Muhammad was a holy man. Christ was a holy man. Krishna was a holy man. Buddha was a holy man. So no real distinction between religions. The truth of the matter is the difference between Christ and Muhammad is the difference between night and day. It is the difference of infinity. Muhammad was a warlord. And all you have to do is read the Medinan verses in the Quran. The Meccan verses, of course, are more tolerant, but the Medinan verses were not. He was a warlord. He was one who, according to tradition, stood in a trench lopping off the heads of infidels, Jewish infidels, and by the hundreds. So whether he did it himself or just ordered it to be done, Islam has not tried to mask this. In fact, many Muslims are quite proud about him doing this. So the difference between Jesus Christ, as I said yesterday, Jesus Christ, when Peter took the ear of one of the soldiers who came to arrest them in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus healed the soldier and told Peter to put away his sword. Now, there's no sense whatsoever in Christianity that we are about building some kind of theocratic kingdom. No, as Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Well, thank you for your information, Hank. God bless you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Rick next. He's listening in O'Fallon, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for speaking so clearly on Islam. But please, brother, keep your head down and your eyes open and be aware of your surroundings. You don't hear that much truth from anyone else, so please take care of yourself. I've got a question. This is a kind of a provocative one. Would you agree that the Old Testament paints in a positive light the acts of the old kings of Israel when they rid the land of the Sodomites and of the those with familiar spirits in a positive light?
Well, I think you have to contextualize what's going on in the Old Testament and recognize that as New Testament Christians, we are not in any way claiming to go back to an Israelite theocratic kingdom. And even the Jewish theocratic kingdom was a theocracy with limits, and the aim within the context of those limits, God ruling directly over people, was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. And so God's instructions are qualified by the intention to spare those who are repentant. And you see that underscored in the New Testament. By faith, Rahab was not only spared death, though she was a Canaanite, but she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ and holds there a privileged position. So God's desire is always to spare those who are repentant in this life and the life to come. And if you want a classic example of that, one needs look no farther than Nineveh, one of the most wicked cities in antiquity. And yet when they repented of their extravagant evil, and we're talking about extravagant evil, like unto the evil of the Canaanites, so extravagant that they would sacrifice their sons and their daughters in the fire. They would wreak the most unbelievable horrors on women and children. And eventually, God's patience ran out, and he did use the Jews as the acts of his judgment. But he was not provincial in any sense, because the Jews themselves were told that if they continued their wicked ways, that they would themselves experience exile, which is precisely what happened to the northern kingdom under the Assyrians. You read Bill O'Reilly, he'll say it's the Philistines, but it's the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom by the Babylonians. So you see very clearly in Scripture that there is always mercy for those who repent. And in the present, of course, there's no sense whatsoever of building some kind of a theocratic kingdom. Christians have never done that. If you look at the Christian advance in the early church, it was, I mentioned this yesterday, it was an advance by the word, not an advance by the sword. And I should also point out that God unequivocally commanded Israel back in the ancient times, long before Christ, to treat the aliens that lived among them with respect and equality. Is that what is being done today in Saudi Arabia or in Iran? I mean, foreigners living among the Israelites were allowed to celebrate the Passover. They benefited from an agrarian system of welfare. And even descendants of Israel's enemies, the Edomites and the Egyptians, were allowed to enter the assembly of the Lord. In fact, God clearly in the Old Testament condemned oppression of aliens in the harshest possible language. I mean, the language is found in places like Deuteronomy, where you hear words to the effect of, "Cursed are those who withhold justice from the alien, the fatherless, the widow." So the concern for foreigners clearly demonstrates that mercy was to be shown to those who repented of their extravagant wickedness. So again, the idea that people sometimes try to percolate in the present is that God was capricious. I just killed people on a whim. No, not at all. It was judgment for the most horrendous kinds of evil. And we find that kind of judgment even in America today. There are people who suffer capital punishment for capital crimes. Why? Because in Christianity, we are all created with the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God. And therefore, a Christian would never treat a woman in a secondary fashion, which is precisely, again, what you see in Islam. You see women treated in secondary fashion. And I'm speaking out of my hat here. I mean, I was in Iran in 2012 or 2013, can't remember which. It was the 33rd anniversary of the overthrow of the Shah of Iran. But you don't need to go to one of those countries. You can go to Saudi Arabia today or just Google Saudi Arabia, one of our allies, by the way, akin to Turkey, and see what's happening to women there.
Hey, Hank.
Yeah.
This piece of clay is certainly not questioning God's perfect plan. I was going to follow up with saying that if that was a positive back then, would it not follow that it would be a positive today?
Well, God's judgments are absolutely right and just, but we are not called to exact punishment on the infidel. That is the province of God Almighty. What we are to do is to do precisely what the church has always done, and that is to propagate by the word and never propagate by the sword. There's no accounting for the human will. We'll be right back with more answers in just a moment.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. This Christmas, why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Other topics include evaluating the Star Wars worldview, organ transplantation and human value, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jane. She's listening in Overland Park, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you so much. I was wondering, you know, the other day I was thinking with God, you know, how bad does the world have to get before you'll come again? And then I thought, well, maybe it's the reverse of that. Maybe it's that we're not holy or good enough. Enough people haven't turned to him, and that's why, you know, to focus on maybe the absence of good rather than the existence of evil. Is there a story in the Bible that where he was looking more for the degree of good than the degree of evil?
No. I mean, we don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return, but when he does, the world will be a mixture of those who believe and those who disbelieve. One thing we can say for certain, however, is that when Jesus does return, his bride will be complete. And that's what we, in essence, hear from John through the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show him what must soon take place. He saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, and heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So when Jesus returns, the bride will be spotless and the bride will be complete. But there certainly are going to be in the world, very much as there are today, people who are horrendously wicked and those who are saved by the righteousness of Christ himself.
Is the world worse than it's ever been in the history?
Well, I oftentimes wonder why people ask that question. I don't mean that in a condescending way at all, Jane, but when you look at the history and some of what I delineated in terms of the genocidal mania of Muslim mobs, just, even at the turn of the 20th century, prior to World War II, even in many cases prior to World War I, you have some of the most horrendous atrocities that you could possibly imagine. You look at what happened under secular Stalinist regime or under Pol Pot, and you wonder while people are saying this is the worst it's ever been. No, I mean, you look at history. There are times that you think about the Black Death that decimated a third of Europe. There have been horrible atrocities throughout the entirety of human existence, and this is the way it will always be. There are times where there are relative, and the word is in quote, relative peace, and there are times in which there is tremendous war, like world wars, but in the end, history ebbs and flows, and when Christ will return, at an ebb or a flow, we simply do not know. What we have to do is be faithful. And you have this really clearly delineated in the book of Revelation, where you have seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're going to experience horrendous tribulation, but what are they called to do? Just be faithful, be fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. Yesterday, I told the story of Metropolitan Chrysostomus, and this godly man is brutalized in a way that is just, it is almost without, I mean, you lack words, I mean, you don't know what to say. It is absolutely incredible. Imagine having your eyes gouged out. This is a man, by the way, who could have left, who knew that terror was coming. Had his eyes gouged out. He was beaten mercilessly. He was spat upon. He was dragged through the streets by his hair. And then he was hacked to pieces. That's tribulation. And we should not be surprised that that kind of tribulation takes place. I also told the story at the beginning of this show about two Christian women and six men. This is just in October of this year. This is in Syria. And they are demanded convert to Islam or die. And when the women refused, they were publicly raped. And then they were beheaded along with the men. And then the fingertips of a 12-year-old boy were cut off in an attempt to force his father to convert to Islam. This was in October. We had the massacre in San Bernardino just last week. So in this world, we're always going to have trouble. Take heart, he has overcome the world.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You got it, and thank you so much for your call as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry, listening in Long Beach, California.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
How you doing? Yeah, on this question, what led me up to this, I was studying and about to teach on predestination, about, you know, as it relates to God's chosen people like Israel, the Jews, and that leads to the parable in Matthew 22, the wedding feast, where the ends of it, it's Jesus says, many will be called, few will be chosen. And even before that, it talks about the gnashing of feet, which usually refers to hell. So I'm trying to see, how is it related as far as the chosen, and this chosen that I can call, how is this related to the, like, the Israel that's chosen, God's chosen people?
Yeah, remember that when we say that Israel is God's chosen people, that Israel is always in the context of true Israel, which is to say that Abraham was the father of many nations. That's why his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations through whom all people of the world would be blessed. And if you are found in the royal seed of Abraham, which Galatians 3 points out as Jesus Christ, then you are, in fact, an heir according to the promise. You are the chosen of God, whether you're Jew or Greek, says Paul, whether you're slave or free, whether you're male or female. But in the passage that you're talking about, Matthew chapter 22, the term chosen is a technical term. It is a term for the community of faith. And the emphasis there is on the fact of membership, not on the means by which you become a member. So many are called, few are chosen is an approximation of a preceding parable. There are many who are called and appear to be among the body of Christ, but turn out not to be real or authentic believers in Jesus Christ. So many are called, but turn out not to be authentic believers. They have a said faith, but do not have a real faith. Got to leave it at that, but let me mention to everybody hanging on, so many of you are, I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls, so please stay with me. I will answer your call. Your call is very important to us. Again, hang on, and for those that want to call in, I'm going to be here for an extra hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Alex. He's listening in Houston, Texas, on the web. Hi, Alex. Alex, you there? Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Clay in Longview, Texas. Clay is listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi. Quick question, Hank, regarding millennium, the thousand-year millennium. My question was this. I listened to you take a question yesterday from a caller, and I really was curious if you considered yourself or classified yourself premillennial, amillennial, or postmillennial. I don't know, according to how you answered the question to the guy yesterday, it was just a question I had. Is that a valid question?
Well, it is, it's a false choice in that many people think that those are the only options, and therefore you have to pick one of the three. I think the first question that has to be asked is, where do people get the idea of a millennium from? And the answer to that question, rhetorical as it is Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, what we read about is a thousand, but we see it within the context of figures of speech and metaphor. When I say metaphor, what I mean is every time you find thousand used, In the Bible as a whole number, invariably it is used in a metaphorical sense. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God shows loving kindness to a thousand generations, and, you know, time permitting, we could come up with a thousand other, again, I'm speaking metaphorically, examples of how thousand is used as a metaphor. So my question would be, why are people trying to divide themselves into one of three camps based on Revelation chapter 20 and misunderstanding the metaphor while they're doing the dividing? You got to understand the metaphor. And the metaphor is used within a context. And so the question is, what about the millennium? What is it all about? And what I oftentimes point out and have pointed out in this broadcast is, we should note that though Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead, he did not so much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age. And when he spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, he reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a thousand-year semi-golden age. Not only that, but nothing in Scripture suggests that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are going to return to a fallen earth replete with fallen human beings. In context, the seven-year tribulation of Revelation, by the way, mirroring the seven-year tribulation under the Old Testament Antichrist and Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes that Jews are celebrating this week, in that context, the Apostle John wants his hearers to have an eternal perspective. Satan will be bound forever, and those who have not taken his mark will rule forever. In both cases, the metaphor thousand applies well. As such, Satan's defeat is complete, just as their victory as the bride of Christ and their vindication is complete. Unfortunately, out of time, going to stay right here for an extra time, for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. And please stand with us prayerfully and financially. I'm not being politically correct. I need your support. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Again, I'll be here for an extra hour answering your calls. 888-ASK-HANK.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.